from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net podcast. My name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Krista Hendricks.
Welcome to the bonus show, everybody, which must be a surprise. Come as a surprise, let's say, because you probably thought to yourself, there's never going to be any more bonus shows. It's the end. Jacob said it was the end.
The Leviathan. Rose again.
Yeah, well, I would say the Phoenix rather than the Leviathan, because I don't remember
What's Leviathan? I don't actually really remember. Which one's the Leviathan?
The Leviathan?
That's a bad one. Is it bad? Am I saying it's a bad thing?
You're testing the limits of my knowledge on this particular one, actually. I'm not going to put my foot in my mouth. I'm going to declare one. I'm going to declare in your house, and I'll say, check the notes if there are any. Check the notes, because I haven't gotten to that chapter yet.
All right. So I'm not write in and tell us how inappropriate that comment I made was, because...
I'm not going to make a fool out of myself by only half guessing what the Leviathan is. But regardless, I'd rather...
The Phoenix from the Ashes.
Yes, thank you.
The Phoenix.
Interrupting McGee. Yes, the Phoenix. The Phoenix is what we are, the metaphor that I think is much more apropos. And this, of course, this rising comes to you on behalf of Taking a Giant Risk Day, which is what I'm celebrating. And by that, because I want to tell you the reason why I decided to do a bonus show. In fact, I've decided to do a series of bonus shows as a way of trying to appeal to the many members whose memberships have expired. I know this because I've been going through the memberships and downgrading manually people who have not resubscribed, because without them being downgraded, they can't see all this new content that I've been trying to put up. To showcase the new work.
You weren't just like, I take away from you. It was, you're trying to be helpful.
I'm trying to be helpful.
Okay.
Right, exactly. So I was trying to be helpful in downgrading people manually because the system did not allow it. And I wanted you guys to see definitely the sample cover art. So if you go to the site right now and you're curious about the book Bible Stories, I am working on a sample piece of artwork. For the book, I had this in my head from day one. I cannot stress this enough. It goes back, I guess, when I just closed my eyes. I remember you told me this. You said if you have an image in your mind of what the book looks like, then it can be that, right? So when you said that, there was an image that popped in my head in a fraction of a second. Okay, it was. Based on Gustave Doré's Jacob Wrestling with the Angel. And Gustave Doré is a really fucking interesting dude. When I was doing a little bit of research on him, he's kind of like me, right? He's just self-taught illustrator, and he was just crazy prolific. Well, I'm not prolific, but that's about him.
But Jake imagines he is.
Right, in my imaginary land.
He's Gustave Doré in his mind.
I am Gustave Doré in my mind. No, I want to be Gustave Doré. So what I thought to myself is, well, I would just make that, except I would do it the way, you know, with my subversive self would do it. As in, number one, it's not the angel winning, okay? It's Jacob. And number two, Jacob is me, Jacob. With my characteristic eyebrows and everything, because guess what? That's what I've been marketing all this time. My Groucho Marx like eyebrows, and it's time to put it on a book, and it's me. And I'm like, I'm wrestling this fucking angel, and I'm winning. And I think the reason, when it first popped in my head, I thought to myself, that's a really good fantasy that you have, Jake, about this thing that you're going to never draw. Because it's going to be way... too fucking hard to draw that. Like, I think if you go to the site, then you'll see I do draw quite a bit, but I don't do it a lot anymore. I used to do it, but fuck. How often do I do it, sweetheart? Do I do that three times, four times a year?
You get those little sparks where you want to draw for a week and then you never see it again, you know? And you guys, you know, I wish that image he took for the site really did justice to the size of this drawing pad. This thing is massive. So not only has drawing taken over his, you know, his time, it's also taken over our physical space because it's just, this drawing pad is massive.
It's really funny, too, because I'm so used to drawing on my lap while I'm watching TV or something like that. But the drawing pad is so big, I can't see anything but the drawing pad. It's so big. It's so ridiculously huge. It is the largest drawing pad that I've ever tried to work on. I mean, I never went to art school, so I never did those kinds of things where I'm, you know, where I have to commit to such a huge project. I just draw on a fucking pad with an HB pencil and an eraser and then forget about it for 9 months.
I have to say, I totally miss those art school days. You know, staying up till 5 a.m. so you could finish a piece you didn't give a crap about for a class you didn't give a crap about, and just like, you know, drinking coffee with your shaky hand while you're trying to steady the other one so you can finish the line drawing. It was great. You know,
I never had that.
You know what I love best about the piece as well? I love your anachronistic glasses in the piece, because every time I look at it, they bug me, but you need them because they're classic to
you,
right?
I know.
But I look at them and I'm like, there would not be glasses.
They bug me too.
It's like, you know, he's dressed in a robe with sandals and everything's all very period, and then there's these wonderful prescription lenses, these great, you know, classically 1990s dad frames.
Hey, I even wonder if I should, I tried other trendy glasses. I went for the Buddy Holly look. It just kind of looks silly on me. I can't help but the daddy glasses are the only thing that look good on my fucking face.
This is the only accessory I think you need to complete your look is babies. You know, I think you've been dressing the dad role for a long time.
Way too long.
What was it that you dressed? Oh, we went out on a date a few days ago, and Jake buttoned. I had him button up his undershirt because he had the sweater vest on. I just wanted to see what it looked like, and it was like classic TV dad. He was transformed, you know. Yeah. I could just see him, you know, leaning uncomfortably over a you know.
Well, Timmy.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh God. Well, I certainly have the voice for the hey, Timmy. Let me tell you something about the birds and the bees.
I would totally cast you as a TV dad.
Oh yeah, it's time to embrace that role. No longer am I young rebel entrepreneur wannabe.
You know what, sweetie? Though I think
TV dad.
I think you have to realize that young rebel, that was just an illusion. It was always a TV dad style guy trying hard to be. You've been in a midlife crisis way too early. That's what I'm trying to say.
Very true. I would say that is true. Midlife crisis. Speaking of that, yes, to go back to the drawing. So I really felt for a long time that I wasn't able to do it. And then I guess finally I just decided I had no choice. I had to try. And so I just took a small pad that I knew would be the sketch version, but I decided I'm going to put a lot of love into that fucking sketch, you know, because this is it. This is my book. This is that thing where I'm, you know, this is my metaphorical dick that I'm putting out there in the world and being like, look at me, everyone. Ta-da. Because for me, a book isn't just about what I think. It's every part of me. And I'm like, I want to draw the cover, and I want the cover to be what was in my head. And if that's the wrong decision, I don't give a shit. If that's the worst marketing decision in the world, I don't give a fuck. It is what is in my head. It will come out. And I feel like if it just, that's what happened, and it wasn't what I expected, then good. I will learn thy lesson and be more humble next time.
Well, we can always do a second cover, right? You know, this will be the Jacob loves it to little tiny pieces cover, and then, you know, this will be the cover that we make for all the fans and all the inside circle people, and they get the special cover. And then if maybe when we take a look at it, we realize that it has bad marketing potential, then we'll make one for the normal people.
No, okay. I don't want to. No.
Okay, or
well,
not.
Okay. Maybe we'll see. We'll see how close-minded I am, right. But. There is an additional thing too that I realized would probably be an interesting and even necessary way to generate extra revenue for the book, for the pre-sales, for the thing that I'm trying to do to save Good Atheist and save my way of life.
I think we should clarify, it's not extra revenue. It's desperately needed.
Oh, yeah.
Horribly required, backed up into a corner style revenue.
That's true.
There's nothing extra.
The wolves. I can hear the wolves and they're howling at me and they want to eat me.
Least appropriate term for this revenue. Right. I just wanted to clarify because that made it sound like it was spending cash. That is not the situation.
No, that is definitely not the situation. It is. It is not. But nevertheless, the whole intention is to take. To take a special form of patronage and to draw people who decide to fork up the $250 that it'll cost to be in one of these drawings. Because I want to do, I think, at least six of them for the books of the Bible.
Let's back up and explain it more fully. So, you know, you explain that as if, you know, I'd heard it 1,000 times, which I have. But
yes.
For those of us, which is everybody else, who don't know what the hell you're talking about, what are you talking about? Spatial patronage and being in pictures? This is, I don't understand this, Jacob. Explain it.
What is patronage? Well,
what the hell are you talking about, you
crazy
bastard?
Used to be this really crazy idea that artists had back in the day where they'd be like, hey, I want to do art, but I don't have any fucking money. So what should I do? Well, there were rich people who had money who just were very vain. And so they went to the painters and they said, we want to be in that painting. I want you to paint me as Joshua. I want you to paint me as captain on the boat with the people that eat each other and shit. And in return for that, this painter was allowed to, you know, do what he likes to do. And that was a really good idea.
Everybody won. Right?
Everybody
so
won.
Somebody got to be part of a really wonderful piece of art.
Mm-hmm.
And another person got to eat.
That's right.
It was a great deal.
It was a good deal.
So how does this relate to you, Jacob? Because I don't understand.
Well, it relates to me because when I make the drawings in the book, I need faces. And you know,
there
I could
pull... There are going to be illustrations in the book?
There will be at least six illustrations like the ones that I'm producing for the cover.
Gustav and they will be Dore style?
They will be based on Gustav Dore's and they will be my satirical interpretations of it. Now, if you have never heard of Gustav Dore, I suggest you do a search for the Dore Bible. And you're going to see a lot of illustrations, like a ton of it. The man was incredibly prolific. He could have been like a pretty big deal, but he stuck to illustrations. And black and white illustrations, too. And it's probably because he was colorblind.
And painting's hard.
And painting's hard, but you know what? I like illustration. I think that it's kind of one of those things where, you know... Maybe people are just so used to color that they kind of forget how beautiful black and white can be. Like it just, I feel like it just puts some of the details in focus a little bit more. Color tends to just, I don't know, maybe wash the palette out, to blur it up a little bit, with just keep the eye busy or something. But at least with black and white, you know, you got to get the lines right, you got to get the shadows right, you got to get everything right. That's why it's so grueling. And when I was shadowing the drawing that I'm doing, I fucked up and I was very upset at myself. So I put the drawing down and I'm like, I fucked up and I gotta think about what I'm gonna do about this fuck up because I'm really upset now. And you know, for me, I'm like, many hours of work. Now yeah. I gotta think about that.
Many
It's like,
hours
how many hours of work? Let's see. I could you calculate? Like probably
it's been
80 hours.
It's been about, I'm not sure if it's quite 80 hours. It's been a lot. I think you've been working on it about 4 hours a day for...
Well, there were certain days where it was like...
8 hours?
At least 8 hours.
I'd be comfortable saying it's like 30 to 45 hours on this single one drawing. Yeah.
Oh, well, I was calculating the other sketch...
Oh, okay.
In the process, too, and the other concept drawings.
It's been a long time.
It's been a while, because it's not just the final drawing.
Yeah, we could do a piece of paper paste job maybe over the error, and then you could try and draw over it.
I don't know what I'm going to do, but it doesn't matter because I've had my attention in other things just for now, because it's not just the book cover that I'm trying to to accomplish. It's also, as of right now, a bid to try to relaunch The Good Atheist for at least another year. And, you know, because when I was going through those many members, those regular members that had expired, I was thinking to myself, man, if everyone just resubscribed, it would be all good right now. It's like, I'm exceedingly good at doing a lot with very little. And everything was going fine until I got derailed a little while. And, which happens, trust me, on the internet, which is full of AIDS.
Oh
my
goodness. The internet
is so full of AIDS.
Okay, let's explain this. All right, what we mean viruses. The internet is a seeming...
It's a cesspool of evil.
Of evil... Evil people. There's a lot of great stuff online, and I am, you know, I'm addicted to so much of the internet in a way Jacob can't possibly understand. Jacob, when he's online, he's working all the time, you know? He doesn't visit stuff for pleasure. It's all atheism-related or...
Oh, yeah. I'm the most boring browser in the world, like,
your
honestly.
Your bookmarks list is so depressing. There's not one single pleasurable... You know, I think maybe Netflix is the best we do online.
No. There's one video game website that I go to just to see the reviews for certain games I'm interested in. And that's pretty much it, other than I would say the occasional porn site. Yeah.
That's pretty limited. Yeah. For me, it's about... I would say 70-30. 70% of the time when I'm online, I'm managing my sites, I'm doing research, I'm doing work-related stuff, I'm answering emails, and then 30% of the time, maybe a little less than that, but quite a bit of the time, I'm, you know, catching up on my favorite YouTubers, and I'm reading my favorite blogs, and I'm playing online games, and just being in general...
Well, you are interacting with the very first layer of the internet, which is the browser, and the browser's world is one where, as far as you're concerned, the dangers are from people trying to attack you by stealing your identity
or your money,
right? Yeah. And that's your danger. That's your little virusy concern.
Or there are people who are like popping up screens, or you know, there's a certain amount. So even if you're just a browser, you understand that there is spam and viruses that are trying to get you all the time. Now, if you own a website or you manage a website, or like Jake and I, you manage several websites. Then there's a second layer of panicky, terrified concern.
Yeah, it's not just if you're asking yourself, where do those pop-ups come from? Well, they come from our realm. All right, the second layer of the internet. This is the layer where we interact. We interact in a layer where we have to create the databases and the information that allows you...
You have to move stuff around from server to server to constantly hide it from the crazy hack monsters that want to destroy everything you've ever created. The problem with the internet, when you're creating internet content, is that it's not real. In a lot of ways, it doesn't exist anywhere in a physical copy. It is all data. And it's all data, you know, hopefully backed up, but it's all on a server that usually you don't have full control over because you're renting space on a server in a warehouse, a server bank somewhere. And, you know, maybe it's a shared server. And if somebody else's site gets hacked, then yours is right there and it might get hacked too. And in the last, 3 months?
At least, yeah.
That's all we've been doing, basically. So much of our time has been consumed by Jake's site got hacked, and what happened all to The Good Atheist originally?
Well, it wasn't... Basically, what was happening was the server that we were on was essentially basically no longer the one that we were going to share, because it used to be shared with Fightlinker, Ryan's site, but Fightlinker was sold.
Mm-hmm.
And that required us to move our servers. But the problem is, on almost every server that you move, there's a limitation to how big of a database you can move around.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're not accustomed to working on the third layer, which is this is the layer of the people that have the keys to the internet. These people are not us. We dabble in their tools, and when things go awry, yes, we cry and cry because, you know, we don't understand this ancient language. We are still translating from our limited Rosetta Stones, but as far as we're concerned, our habitations, the things that we work on as second layer, it's all risk for us because the third layer, our experts, are monsters, some of them, who have millions of zombie computers that try to hack your shit.
I think for the people who were born before 1978, we should explain that a server is where, so the stuff that we build on the internet has to live somewhere, right? The information has to be accessible all the time. So a server is basically a computer that's connected to the internet all the time so that people can access the stuff that you put on it. So from your computer, you put in your URL, which directs you to the place where your information is being stored on this server. And because these servers are connected to the internet all the time, you know, they try their best, but that means that if we can look at the site, that means hackers can get into the back end a lot of the time. And it's also important to understand when we're talking about the second tier, third tier thing, what we're talking about is Jacob and I use interfaces. So WordPress is a clear interface where you can go and there's buttons you can click on and you can type it in plain text and it makes sense. The third layer of the internet, what we're talking about is we're talking about programming language. So CSS, HTML, PHP, these kind of things. These are programming languages that Jake and I can speak a little bit of, but for the most part, it's no hablo CSS, you know?
No hablo PHP, no hablo many, many languages. And it's just that, you know, there's really only so many things that a person can master before you just hit a wall. Like, I'm just not willing to learn that layer. But because that layer exists, it can just, it can be so daunting. Now, the truth is, there have been people in the past that have offered help. But you have to understand this, that even people who offer help are not, they're not fully aware that they're not willing to commit to that help. And it's hard for you to tell that to someone saying, well, thank you for the offer, but I don't really think you're serious, because almost everyone in my experience has not been serious enough. Look, there's a reason why there's only a select few people that actually do this in perpetuity. It's just because doing it when it is unpleasant and you don't want to do it is a real test. Mm-hmm. And most people do not pass that fucking test. You have to be the one that passed that test. You cannot rely on other people, so you are always limited by that. And it is a terrifying, and let me tell you, not just terrifying, but exhausting venture.
Oh, so exhausting.
That's what it is. I mean, for me, before, what really got to me was just, I was at the end of my rope in terms of, like, I don't know how much more I can learn. Like, because at that point, I too was having to sort of cross more into the second tier, like just third. To a large, or third tier, yeah. Where now I'm having to import files that are too large for this import system, and I have absolutely no ability to go in and change anything about it. It is and when you hit that wall, when you hit that serious wall, and you're like, there's no financial option there. And even if there was, it doesn't eliminate the problem if it comes back. If there's, again, like somebody who hacks that shit and just, I mean, it is still the constant worry. And it is just one of those things that you have to absorb. And it's something that the people in that first layer do not know. Mm-hmm. They do not know. It is like having a ship in international waters.
Pirates.
Yes, literally pirates want to fucking kill you, okay?
Internet pirates. We don't mean piracy. We mean people that are going to come and hack into your ship and kill all of your people. And take over. And I mean, so what happened to my site is that one of my sites, I didn't update the WordPress platform because I manage 12 websites in total. I mean, only 4 of them are really any work. The rest of them are pretty much set it and forget it style sites, or they're, I'm just managing them and somebody else runs them. But still, it's a lot to keep an eye on. So I let one slip and I hadn't updated it and it got hacked via a spam thing. and which also is a horrible thing that you have to deal with if you're trying to manage websites. Anything with comments, there's just constant spam all the time on every single website, and just trying to filter out which ones are spam and which ones are legit is mind-numbing. And what happened was they broke in and they put in a code that meant that if you tried to go to my site, it would redirect you to a coupon spam site. So I lost a ton of traffic, and when I tried to clean it out, it leaked this poisonous virus to my other sites. So I ended up needing to contact the people who run my server. They were very, very unhelpful. And it was all very expensive, and my site was coming up for renewal, so I decided once it was cleaned out, I was going to move it to a new server. Unfortunately, the new server I was moving it to was what? It was 1/20th of the cost, and I should have been suspicious because it was the least secure place ever. And as soon as I brought stuff over...
1/20th? Why? There's nothing that can go wrong here.
And then as soon as I brought it over, everything got hacked again, because two of my sites are now at the size that people... They get quite a bit of traffic, and enough traffic that it's worthwhile for somebody to come in and break it.
Well, this actually gets me to an interesting segment that is the other part of... you know, the difficulties in really trying to say, can I get to that next level? You know, and here's the truth, where Chris was mentioning that there are specific kinds of viruses that wait for sites to get to a certain size, because that's when they get interesting. Otherwise, like a site that gets one hit a fucking month, who cares, right? Who cares? And it's a lot of work to get up to a particular level, but then it is like there are more sharks. There are more sharks at that level, and having to deal with those sharks is just, you know, here's what's exhausting about it. And I think that it makes me all the more concerned about how fragile the internet really is, because data that from a site like posts that I write, shows that I've done in the past, all of these things can easily be lost, and not even just through carelessness. It can just be where you have a backup. Carissa, you can test to this. You have a backup, and then you're backing up something on your backup, and then you accidentally fuck everything up.
Yep.
That can happen.
That happened to me.
Being overly secure can actually fuck you over. How is that possible? Let me tell you something. It's mind-boggling, but it can. Information is really not... that secure, and so much of your, you know, so much of your work, like for me, you know, Good Atheist so far represents almost 4 years, well, less than that, because it's, you know, obviously I only started doing that full time 2 years ago, but I'm still doing quite a bit. You know, that's a lot of work. It could be gone. It could vanish. You know, there could be a fire where all my backups are destroyed and the server is destroyed. And then all of a sudden, it's kind of like it's back to those days where I'm asking fans, "Hey, do you have any of these shows?"
Because they're gone.
Because they're just gone forever. Yeah, they're gone.
Yeah, and that's sort of the position we're in right now. Jacob and I, in an interesting like turn of non-existent fate. We're in a very similar situation at different levels, because Jake's sites are much bigger than mine. But for some reason, we were going through the same thing at the same time, where it's just like dealing with hackers, dealing with server switches. I am now on my third server in the last month. I have moved to DreamHost, not sponsored ad, and they're fine so far. But who knows? I might be having to move to a fourth server pretty soon. And it's very upsetting and confusing. And when, you know... Part of the other problem with the internet is people expect to get everything for free, and I don't blame anyone. I'm in the same boat. You know, there are some things I'm willing to pay for online, and there's a lot of things that I'm not. For example, I pay for all my audiobooks online, all of them. That was like a rule I set for myself, and I've been really careful about it. And every once in a while, somebody will send me one, and I feel guilty about it, you know, and then I try and find a way to give that person money. But audiobooks for sure. But then, you know, I try and download stock images, and they're $30 for one stock image. I'm not paying that. I'm going to find some place where it's free online, and now those people aren't going to make a living. And I think that's the other problem with the internet, is that it's a hard place to manage and navigate and create. It's not just about creating content. It's about protecting your content and securing your content and getting it out there. And then once you get it to people, they're not super interested in paying for it. So it's this interesting environment. It's very Wild West.
Well, clearly there's a value in being able to attract thousands of people. What that value is not clearly understood. I mean, what is the estimate? What is the worth of Good Atheist? Right? What is it worth? Well, if I walk away from it, obviously nothing. But is it really nothing? I mean, we're still selling memberships. We're still I haven't been pitching the memberships, and people have still been buying it. Now, if I walked away, and or if I got hit by a bus and I died, how long before that account would no longer be receiving any monies? I don't know. But clearly, it has a value. You can't walk into a bank and say, hey, this has value, because they will not recognize it, and it's really not clear.
So
that the value, what that value is not determined by any arbitrary group. Instead, what it is determined by is by the group that enjoys it, by the people who listen, by you guys. And this is why when I was clicking every member and I was thinking to myself, fuck, would they renew if I asked them? And I thought to myself, well, what would I have to do?
Sweeten the pot.
I would have to sweeten the pot, and I would have to, you know, I think there would be a certain penance, obviously, because I have to admit my own faults, what I have done wrong. Obviously, I have to reappeal to everyone and try to save my job. Because I think that I still do a damn fine job. It's just that I'm very tardy. And I have not been putting in the effort that I should have. And that's why this month is going to be a really important month. If anybody goes back to when we first started Patronage, which was way back, like, I'm trying to remember which, by bonus show 50 or something like that, we were doing it, or as far back as it. I mean, by regular show 50. So, you know, we're like, that's a long time ago, right? We've been doing this Patronage thing. So it goes back, but when we did that, we did a whole month of free shows. So
To prove it
and to show, hey, twice a week, fuck, that's good, right? I want twice a week. That's going to be fine. And you know what? When everybody was getting there twice a week and it was consistent, nobody complained. Everything was good. And that ruined it. It was me. I did ruin it. But I want to get it back because, you know what? I think to a certain degree, I ruined it because I cracked under those pressures. And I don't, you know, if someone wants to blame me for cracking under those pressures, I'm like, why don't you try? Because I think everybody else would have.
It was a pretty stressful couple. It's been very stressful the last couple months. There has been a lot going on. I mean, beyond the server errors and the hacking and the moving databases and the working in areas of the internet that we are just not comfortable. It is so scary moving a database in pieces and thinking, hey, did I just break everything? Did I just destroy everything? And part of the thing is that you don't really know, because even if the site looks like it's fine, you know, 4 days later you're trying to upload an image and you realize, oh, I broke the image uploader, because there's so many components to everything you do. So it's not just the site. It's also been life stuff. And it's also been, I think you're starting to feel like, hey, I've put, what are you, it's 3 years now with the Good Atheist.
Well, I committed to it, I think, 2.5, maybe
yeah,
a little bit more.
I definitely get the sense that, you know, you feel like you've given it a good go, and you are not where you expected to be at this point. But again, you're willing to swallow your pride a little bit and admit that maybe that's kind of your fault, because the book should have probably been done.
The book should have been done. Everybody obviously understands why that's so teaseworthy. I'm excited to have it done and it not be a joke anymore. Yeah. Where we can all look back and be like, what foolish days.
Remember when it took you 3 years to write that book?
Yeah.
Wow.
But you know what? I try to go back. I really did before. I really stuck with Bible stories, and the reason why I picked that book, I think it's necessary for at least the bonus members to know, because you guys are the ones that give a shit. The reason why it took so long is that, honestly, if I look at all the false starts that I've had for books, it's just constantly the way my brain thinks. And Chris will attest to that, where I say, wouldn't it be great if you could write a science fiction story and insert cool idea, but with absolutely no story? It's just a fucking base idea. And I'm great at those. Don't ask me to write narrative.
Yep.
Do not ask me to write
narrative. That is very true. Jake has a fantastic mind for a piece of an idea. He has great fragmented thoughts.
Right.
And as the person who spends every freaking day with him and gets a earful of them all the time, there are so many. There are just so many.
They happen all the time.
All the time.
I actually suppress them because they can be the annoying.
It gets to be so much. And it's funny because as soon as I can poke a hole, I don't want to because I don't want to be that person, but they're so easy to poke a hole in because it's just like, hey, Carissa, wouldn't it be a great idea if there's a science fiction story where, like, all of the people were reduced to needing to crawl around and then you have to create a system where they had to find mobility without having any kind of legs? And I'd be like, okay, so what's the plot? Yeah, well, that's not... Oh, there isn't one.
Why does there have to be? I keep asking, why do we need the human being in the narrative?
You don't?
I'm just saying, like, it's very egocentric.
No, stop. That is exactly one of those ideas. Why do you need to have a human in a narrative? Okay, Jake, where's your idea for having a story without a human narrative? You don't have one. All you have is a fragmented concept that came off the top of your head.
And that's not a novel.
And here's the thing. Jake has spent the last 2.5-3 years over committing to these fragmented concepts where he gets an idea and he's like, this will be the book. And then he works on it for a week and a half and then realizes it's actually only about an article's worth of information.
Not even a great article.
And all that time got wasted. And the other problem is that, you know, Jake ran out of things to just say about the scene, interesting things to say about the scene about a year and a half ago. So I don't know if you guys realize this, but he does like between 4 and 8 hours of work for every single show. It's just like research, and you're not allowed to really talk to him during those periods because he's focusing.
I'm trying to piece together interesting thoughts is what I'm trying to do, and digest a lot of information that I think is either relevant or, I don't know, maybe quirky or should be paid attention to. I'm going to be mentioning one of those later on in the show once I'm finished this rather introspective part, but guess what? Bonus show.
Yeah, you guys care. You guys are the people.
Yeah, you guys give a shit. Especially seeing how this is a first among many of the Save the Motherfucking Show
shows.
Yeah, exactly. Save the Motherfucking Show. It's kind of like a telethon that doesn't require us to stay up all day because it's not happening. Yeah, not very good at that.
No. But I mean, I think if I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I used to be a big Good Atheist fangirl, and part of the reason I was a fangirl was because it's always interesting, you know? There are some other shows that have managed to stay like that. Dan Carlin's shows are always interesting. There's a few other ones that are always interesting. But, I mean, if you're listening to a lot of podcasts, you know out there, listener, you know that most of the shows after the first 15 episodes start to hit or miss. Because that's about when you start to run out of the shit that you just got off the top of your head. And if you're not putting a lot of work into researching for a show, then you ran out of stuff. I also know this because I have my own podcast, and I ran out of shit to say after show 5. And they have become a lot of work because I need to, you know, I need to say new things, and it's difficult, and it takes a lot of work to research, and it's hard. So I think when you realize that, you know, Jake has been wasting a lot of time writing these books that could never be.
No, the worst books. And I feel so embarrassed. Like, I actually tried to go through all the documents to see if I could piece together some part. And I really just got tired of how many there were. There were too many files just constantly. It's like an ode to the book that was never written.
I think that should
sucked.
Be the third book. You're right. You should write a book that's called Fragmented Thoughts, and it'll just
so
be
fragmented.
45 small essays that could never be a book, but that you had worked really hard on writing stuff for. Anyway, that's way down the line. Let's try our best to get this one
I suppose,
done.
I suppose if you could, you know, you painted it in a nicer light where you're like, you trying to write a book. No.
Yeah, we can justify it that way.
Justify it that way, maybe. But I think, again, like when I picked Bible stories, it was just because, number one, there was a base curiosity there anyways. I knew that I needed to really, really study the Bible. Like, I feel, you know, I'm still in the early stages of it, and you see me just sort of like at that, I'm at the beginning of it just now, right, going through the first part of Genesis and just getting really acquainted with ancient legends, just so ancient that they're where other legends come from. You know, they're the things that we plagiarized long ago.
Yes and no. I think that you don't really give yourself enough credit about how far along you've really come in the book, because you actually have a lot written. There's a lot. I mean, if we put the fire under your butt and said you need to get the first chapter done, it could be done pretty quickly. I mean, this is the first time, I have to honestly say, this is the first time you've been working on a book, and it feels easy to get behind it. Because I feel like I'm quite convinced and confident that this book will actually get done. Because so much of it's already gotten done. We surpassed the normal point where you give up on a concept like a month ago.
Well, I had already planned for my failures at other book attempts long ago. Like, if you go back... I've really slacked on this as of late because they were a lot of work at the time. But if you ever went to the lyric section of the shows, they have notes, really detailed notes. Well, that's kind of what I was hoping would be one of the books, which was kind of, you know, like a Good Atheist Companion, where I would write all the follow-ups to the old stories. I actually started writing quite a bit of that, like probably about a chapter's worth. Of it, just going from show 40, like all the way back to 40, because I thought, oh, this would be a great book. And I mean, it would be a great book. A lot of material is just so amazing. Like, I got to go do research on articles that I did in 2009 and follow-ups that, I don't know, I found shocking. Like, shocking for reason, like, reason number one is that I never really understood the fact that I used to just talk about stories nobody talked about. Like, when I go back and read about stories like this woman that had been kidnapped by the Taliban in Pakistan in, I think it was 2009, and the government was like, no, we're probably not going to negotiate. And that's where the story ended. I didn't follow up. Nobody did for a long time. That's why. And then I learned that a year later, they had, you know, like someone else had finally followed up on it, and basically she had just died in captivity. What had happened was basically the government said no. They had let her taxi driver, who they had basically held captive as well, go, but they had to keep someone because they had to save face. Because apparently you can't kidnap someone and just release them, because then you don't look so tough to the other gang members. Yeah, it's that fucking petty and shit. So they can't get rid of this woman. And then she just basically dies of dysentery in captivity.
That's heartbreaking.
Right. And no one, I cannot stress how hard it was to find this information, okay? I was really digging deep online, and I had found some actual really good sources. And I thought to myself, man, you know, like just going back in the old shows, some of the news that we had talked about, and some of the stories that we did, you know, just follow-ups on, like, those are really crazy stories. Those are powerful stories when you go revisit them. I look forward to the opportunity to do that if this first book really comes out, because holy fuck of shit. It's revisiting a story that makes it much more interesting. Not the story at the time. Because you're just like, it finally feels like history after 2 years. That's history that you were just talking about. And it has real life consequences as of today. Like, for instance, an article that appeared in the Washington Post about how basically the Taliban's newest source of income is kidnapping. They're kidnapping all the time. And it's just basically small criminal gangs kidnapping. And they're doing it for money and wrapping themselves up in the cloak of religion. Sound familiar? Anyways.
Wow.
Yep. So it's the same, just same tactic, but echoed throughout history. And I was actually committed to that. I thought that that's what I was going to do. But I really felt when I went back and did a little bit more of an inventory, especially as to how many people listened to the shows for the Bible stories, it was just much. There was just simply much more interest, and I think I share that interest. I'm like, I would listen to that. I would, you know, I'm curious. One of my mom's cousin came over to visit, and you know, I was explaining to her what the book was, finally being able to describe it in a way that felt real, as opposed to all those other times where I've had to have that embarrassing conversation with everybody. But when she asked, what's it all about? I just basically gave her a couple of examples of the stories in the Bible the way that I explain them, I think, succinctly. And really, when she was, you know, her face at first was like, really? Is that in the Bible? And you're like, yeah, yeah, that's what it says. That's what it's about. And, you know, she's like, wow, that sounds really interesting. She's not a person that would really probably go to the site and listen to the show. But she would buy that book. And that was another yep. Yep. It's the right idea.
It's a great first book. You know, I think that it's the one you're supposed to. Like, that's the right one.
I think it makes sense.
Yeah. Out of everything you started working on, this is the one that has felt yes the most. You know?
Especially because, you know, the amount of work that I'm putting into it, I really want people to just have the kind of understanding and really, honestly, in my opinion, ammunition against this silly book. This silly, silly
so
book.
Silly.
Very silly. Talking donkey, silly, silly.
Absolutely. It's filtered through the religions to sound like this amazing and believable word of the Lord. And then you read it and it's crazy nonsense. And you know what? No one does crazy nonsense like Jacob Forte. Nobody hates on crazy nonsense.
Oh, yeah. I have no tolerance for it. No tolerance for crazy nonsense. And that's also the way that I'm looking at it. But there's so many interesting other side tales that I don't get to talk about. This is going to be a cool section. I want to pimp this out again because some people may not have heard this because, again, they were having problems accessing their accounts. But, you know, you dangle a podcast in front of them and they will listen to it. And there's content going on the site where I'm just writing about the stuff that is not making it into the book because I just can't include everything. You know, like I
too
want
much
there's
stuff.
Too much. There's too much. Like when I start thinking about what I'm gonna have to wean out. Like for instance, even the version of the Bible that I'm using is an interesting story. Like, what do I do? What do we do? I mean, the version of the Bible that I'm using generates such an interesting tale, an opening for such a grand little segment, but at the same time, because that segment is so grand, I'm like, I don't think I can talk about this. Or maybe I'll talk about it in the second volume of the book, or I don't know. Like, for now, I got to put it somewhere. And, you know, the bonus articles that are going to be available, even to the freebie members, because I want them to be aware of the book, and this is the best way to do it. You know, this is going to be my way of letting you guys know all, you know, the work that's happening, the progress. And that's why if you go on now, you get to even see the sample cover art. There is a picture of a pencil. This is a full length pencil. Looks tiny.
This
looks
pad
like a nub.
This drawing pad is so big. So big. It is, when he is drawing on it, he's like in a cubicle. It's massive, this thing. It's insane. Okay, so now that we have completely self-indulgently talked about everything up until now.
Right.
So what is the plan? Because you went through all these memberships and saw that there's a ton of people who...
Just a ton, yeah. And a ton of people who will eventually and pretty quickly come to have their membership expire as well.
And the number is one-third. If one-third of those people...
Okay, well, here's the plan. Basically,
okay.
What I need people to do is I'm going to offer a membership to the people that have already been members. And that offer is for $30, you will renew and get the and pre-order the ebook and the audiobook. Now that's
so that's a year's worth of
shows and access to the bonus shows.
And access to
which they don't have anymore right now, and probably some people realized that they didn't keep it on their computer and it probably felt silly at the time, but now you gotta come get it with regular membership. So if you renew and you add the extra 10, which you know you're saving here because I'm offering the ebook and the audiobook for 20 when I'm going to be putting this on Kickstarter, but I wanted to, you know, do a special kind of like offer, like 10 bucks off.
And the other thing is, like, it goes both ways, right? Because part of it is that, you know, we desperately need to have the income to make this work because Jake needs to put his time in full time to do this. And, you know, we've been trying to get him a job. And honestly, being a loud punter for atheism apparently does not transfer into many job-related skills. And it's been really hard.
What a surprise.
So if he does go back to work, it's going to be at $12, $14 an hour. And it's not good, you know, and it's gonna take too much time away from the book for this to get
out.
Yeah,
I would literally not have any free time.
So what we need from you guys is we need you to purchase this $30 thing, but we don't want to take anybody's money without giving you a ton of value, like just a ton of value. So for $30, it's all the new shows for the year, the backlog of shows, the pre-order for the ebook, and the pre-order for the audiobook for $30.
That's right, $30.
So, that's amazing. And also the satisfaction of knowing that you're helping, that you're part of the solution. And
well, it's the Save TGA campaign.
Yes,
that's what campaign. We're calling it. And it has to have a name.
And we're talking about buttons. No, we're not committing to buttons because I don't know. But you know, we're talking about doing buttons or pins. I think the
pins would be so cool.
We priced out some pins in there.
Well, here's the cool news too. There, I was having some problems sending a few people the shirts that they were supposed to get, just because they are in Tennessee. Me getting them back, I'm like, I'm using the last of my funds to ship the shirts is a fucking nightmare. But luckily, a solution has presented itself. In a new sponsor that we're going to be running a couple of ads for them. I like their shirts anyways, and they're going to be able helping us fulfill those orders. Because I want to make sure everybody gets their stuff as promised so that they don't feel slighted. I don't want anyone feeling slighted.
Yeah, so this month is our... What's a good way to say it? We're repentant.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is our penance month.
It's penance month.
We're doing lots of great, wonderful things.
Redesigning the site.
Which has been a nightmare, but it will be nice.
Yeah,
I saw the first glimmer of the new design today, and it's
gonna be
sexy.
Cool. It's going to be cool. It's like, it's still a tiny little bit of a compromise on what I want, but that's only because I have these insane demands. You know? I just got to make something simple work. I can't reinvent the wheel, but I'm going to try to, you know, I'm going to try to include as many of the features as humanly possible that's still manageable. Mm-hmm. Like, can't overstep our technical knowledges.
Oh, and I've been getting actually good atheist. I just want to put this in here. I don't know if this is any of you people, but if you go, you can Google. Okay, so last week on the show, you guys talked about how Reddit loves me. Reddit loved me for a day and then hated me again because that's how the internet works.
Yeah.
There was a picture that I did, Reason is Sexy picture, that I took this photo with a really great local photographer in Calgary and I did all this Photoshop work and it's really cute. It's like a semi-nude with me reading the Hitchens book and like kind of throwing the Bible away and it's adorable. And people have been messaging me looking for the large version for computer desktops. If you just Google it, you'll find it. It's the first like six things that come up on Google. So Google Reason is Sexy Atheism Carissa Hendricks and you'll find it. So please stop emailing me because that's a lot of emails, guys. Stop it. I love you, but
hey, look,
backed up.
Hey, look, you fucking perverts. Why don't you learn how to search, huh?
Search.
Come on now.
Come on.
And besides, don't you know that if you find
Google
a girl
it.
Sexy, don't ask her for the pornography that you're going to be masturbating to. That's not smart, buddy.
I didn't really think about it that way.
Well, I'm just sort of like some free advice here from Jacob Fortan. That's not the best move, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, the topic that I want to talk on the show...
Hey, we're actually going to do
we're
going to
talk
a
about...
show?
We're going to do a proper show.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, it started off with a pitch. This is the longest and only long version of the pitch that you're
so,
going to
okay,
have,
wait a second. So is there going to be a button for people to renew on the site?
Yeah, there's going to be... I'm trying to put a thing right on the site that will lead to a page, a special page. Keep in mind that it's still... the technical details and aspects of it are being worked out. This is why, you know, I'm giving everyone a nice month buffer... to catch up. Month of free shows, you know? And if you want to wait that month before you renew, that's okay too. Sure, skin of my teeth, let's do this thing. If you want to do it right away, I'd appreciate that too. But hey, if you want to fucking wait the month and say, put your money where your mouth is, where you're doing regular shows Tuesdays and Thursdays, let's do this thing. I'm like, all right, bitches, bring it on. But you better bring it out.
I don't know what that rant was, but yeah. It was awesome.
Okay, good.
It was nice. So there will be a nice big button. I just want to clarify.
Yes.
There will actually be. Because on The Good Atheist, one of the other problems with this site, with the old site, is that it is hard to give you money.
Yeah.
It's hard.
I know. Some people were like, I don't know how to give you money. You didn't see the big donate button? I have failed.
No, you didn't see the big donate button because you made it very graphical and it was...
I know. Very beautiful.
Yeah. You need to make things that are functional.
I know I need to make things that are functional, but that's not...
Function over form.
It's not who I am.
Function over form.
You know, I just like something that looks good. I can't help myself.
Yeah.
And it costs me money.
How about we be more orientated towards... making stuff usable.
It's going to be an adequate compromise. I don't need to be a millionaire, goddammit. I just need to do a little bit better. Just a little bit better. Well, a lot of it better.
A lot of it better.
You know, actually, before we talk about what the big topic for the show, there is one thing I did want to mention, actually, because you did say something about photography, and I was reading an article in Scientific American, actually, about this one photographer who mentioned the fact that he was having a hard time selling some of his pictures. And he was asking, how much is this picture worth? He had an interesting way to try to calculate this. And I've been thinking myself also in terms of like with the new site and the new, you know, revamp, I do want to put a lot more pictures. But I would really like to find an opportunity where there was a reasonable, like I could have a reasonable budget for certain pictures that I want. And then that's okay. Like, I would really like to take place in the marketplace of the internet. To get that ball rolling, sure, fine. But the question is, what's a reasonable price?
Yeah, I was trying to buy some images for my new site design on iStock last night, and everything that was even remotely useful was a $40 an image to use. And I think for something you're using on a website-sized photo, $40 for the rights to use that? That's really way too much. I think there should be a like for blogs and things like that, there should be a reduced rate as long as you credit the photographer. I could understand if this was going in print media. I could understand if I was a major company. But for like a small, I'm just blown away by that. $40 to use an image in a blog post. How many blog posts a day do we do? Could you imagine if you had to buy a photo for every single one? You would go broke.
I have just an idea. Okay, here's my idea. That if you want to sell a photo, you should have a flat rate unless you have a certain size of blog. You know, it's kind of like the same way that Stephen King has a rule that if you are a new filmmaker, you can buy one of his scripts for $1. All right? He does this with the obvious understanding that if you are a new filmmaker, you need something to work with, and it'd be kind of nice to get a break. And, you know, for the most part, early entrepreneurs online, that's what we all are. We're just trying to get a break. And everybody else, the small, tiny percent of the internet that has it all, has all the monies. We just want to have a little bit of the monies, but I can't afford $40 per picture. And like most others can't. You know, you need to have another economy, the same way that we don't sell AIDS medication at the same price, right? This is the third world internet. I mean, first world Yahoo, okay? Charge them reasonable fucking rates. Charge me the third world rates. Doesn't that make sense? Why do we have to have a pricing scheme that's the same for everybody? Sorry, that's not the reality of the internet.
Here's the other thing you have to realize. I think that, you know, we're still looking at pricing when things were concrete. If you have to take a photo and I get the full rights to the photo, then yeah, that photo is going to be worth a few hundred bucks or $1,000. But this is something you can disseminate infinitely for fucking free. Here's the other problem. If you charge too much, I would be happy to pay for stock photography. I would be happy. I would love to. I love contributing to the economy of the internet. I love the way it makes me feel. I love it. I love being one of those people that's like, I'm avoiding piracy as much as I can, but sometimes it's hard not to.
Okay, look, I have a solution.
Let me finish. But here's the problem. Because if there's no middle ground, there isn't. Either you're paying way too much for stock photography, or Creative Commons is your friend.
All right, but look, I have a solution. I have a solution. And I hope this is the way that we will look at it.
Is it going to be one of those fragmented solutions?
No, it's not a fragmented solution. And it's so fucking pragmatic that it should just be the goddamn solution. The solution is this, that let's say I have a certain traffic number, all right? We'll say this traffic number is, you know, like with when you're at 3,000 or 5,000 or 6,000, right? You have the, you know, the value of what you're asking for, copywritten materials, materials that belong to other people that are trying to make money from it. Right, that are handing out their hat and saying, I want money from what I put in, which is, I think, fair. The Absolutely. First thing that you put on, you should say, you know, like, if you replicate this, I'm putting my hat out. But at the same time, like, the person who's going out and saying, like, I want to take some of that content, I would say, well, to a certain degree, what they're being charged has to be based on that value. What that number value is. Like, if my value is bigger, hey, that's good for me. But guess what? Now I'm having to pay more for things, too, because my value went up. Right. But the people that are at the bottom, right, we obviously don't make it proportional because the people that would encourage scamming, right? That would mean that you just have like a billion websites with one visitor. No. You obviously need to pass a certain threshold the same way that you do with Google Analytics. But once you're in this sort of fucking zone where you're doing it right, doing it professionally, getting traffic where it has value, now I think you should be part of like this new currency, this fucking my value allows me to have a certain amount for certain works, and that's the way to keep it fair. Because if you have 100,000 visitors and I have, you know, 1,000 visitors, we should not be paying the same price, but the person who hands out their hat should be getting something. And I think that this would be a currency that makes sense because you just, you know, fudging those numbers is going to be hard.
Yeah, I think determining, we're still in the Wild West on the internet, and it's really hard to determine what things are worth. And it's really hard. You know, when I'm charging for the digital download of my DVD, I honestly question if it's too much, you know, and I charge how much I do because everybody else told me to charge twice as much as I'm charging. So it's like trying to make some decisions about what digital content is worth is hard. But I think there's definitely people charging way too much, just way too much, you know, and really turning a lot of people off. I honestly think if a lot of these photographers would stop depending so much on these large photo conglomerates and would just start to, you know, put up your own site, put up your own pictures, and put up your own prices, then they wouldn't gouge you. Because part of what's happening is that these larger companies are charging a lot of money for these photos that you buy in credits, which is complicated and upsetting, and I hate it. And the photographer is actually not getting as much of it because the site's taking a lot of the money.
Yeah, well, I mean, the idea of having membership to something and then being able to just take what you want once you're a member is very appealing. Mm-hmm. That's why I kind of wanted to do that with the Good Atheist. And I knew that as time went on, I'm like, there's more and more stuff that you can add, more and more value. I'm one person, right? Like, and you know, I figured if I was a photographer, I could produce a lot of work, offer, you know, these works up to people and charge membership for it in a similar way. I'm like, there's a certain pitch. Like, I've been trying this myself. It's been successful enough that I've been able to do it for this long, and it can continue to be successful as long as I get everybody to be on board again. I'm like, I guess I had a kind of that freak out moment because, I mean, honestly, when there's when 2/3 of your members are now expired, you're just kind of like, oh no, mm-hmm. I'm sunk, right? I'm done. Nobody renewed. But I realized, you know, part of that was the technological problems. And, you know, you could get a person to say, why don't you just fix it? Why don't you fucking fix it? Well, you can't, huh? Well, I can't either. Ta-da. There we go. We're at an impasse.
Yeah. This whole Renaissance man thing doesn't extend itself towards complicated depth levels of programming.
Well, code. You know what? The one thing, too, I've kind of wondered if maybe the whole idea of Renaissance Man is actually not impossible now.
It may be impossible now, yeah.
It really does feel so, and I almost feel like that it was a cool vision to have, and it really gave it my best shot in a lot of different avenues, but there comes a time where you're like, you can't do it all, bro. You gotta pick. And the Renaissance man of old, like, you know, the people who were Renaissance men were men of means. Men who could just do that all day.
Okay, let's talk about this freaking story. We're getting really distracted.
What people like the tangents as long as they're entertaining.
Or is it entertaining?
I don't know. I'll have to. I'm going to re-listen to it tomorrow. I always edit the show before I put it up.
We're silly today. This may have not have been.
Well,
this is what happens when you're doing shows consistently, guys. Sometimes you get ones where it was a day where you're feeling silly. And today, we're silly.
No, well, today you are probably much more silly than I am because you're drinking.
You're drinking some, too.
What is that? Again, Bailey's. Yeah, it's Bailey smoothie, which is a great idea. Yeah, right when you do a show, fill it up with phlegm, everybody. Okay, so the story that I wanted to talk about today, the actual topic, if you will, was something that appeared in USA Today and the Washington Post and drew my attention because of the aftermath, and I'll explain after. Basically, what the story was, it was about this woman by the name of Rebecca Hensler who created a Facebook group called Grief Without Belief. Because when her infant son died, and she was getting patronizing comments from people who were so fucking convinced, oh, no, you're going to see them in heaven. You're going to see your baby.
Oh, that's so hard.
No, he's in heaven, darling. And, you know, you're trying to deal with that. Yeah, so she builds this environment for atheists to talk about it. And that basically was, what the story was.
That totally makes sense because, you know what, even people, I think for the most part, really religious people are nicely tucked away. They tuck their religiousness away when you go into the outside world most of the time, right? I can order a coffee without having a discussion about God. I can order dinner. I can live my life and be an atheist. And for the most part, it doesn't get too much in my way. But when you are grieving, even people who are normally not religious at all become adamantly Catholic or adamantly Jewish when they walk into a church for a funeral or even into a funeral home for a funeral. They become very religious. It's a very religiously dominated experience. I totally understand her decision to make this website, and that is awesome.
Well, it wasn't a website. It was a Facebook group. But,
you
know. Yeah, still, you gotta. And, well, here's what's cool, actually.
She should make a website.
You know what's nice? Greta Christina, who had got mentioned, if anybody follows her blog, I do recommend it. Her posts are a bit long, but they're always entertaining.
Yeah, yeah.
She gets a nice mention because she suggested to this woman to make the Facebook group. So it was cool that it got picked up. Now, what I thought was the result, obviously, because I visited the group after it appeared there, because if you read the Washington Post, then you know that it is pretty conservative. So I'm like, oh boy, what is the result of this Facebook group that they linked? What's going to happen now? So obviously there were a few trolls, you know, saying like, oh, you bastards, God's going to punish you and you suck. Obviously those trolls came along. But there was another form of troll that I wanted to briefly talk about, which was a troll, which was a fellow atheist who was trying to debate on the finer points of, you know, the afterlife. Like, for instance, that you could be a non-believer, but that doesn't necessarily discount the possibility of blah, blah, blah. Now,
oh my goodness.
Yeah. Which is, you know, it's irritating for a number of reasons. The first one of which is a perfect example of why it can be really difficult to defend this movement when you have a number of people who clearly do not know any of the proper rules of social etiquette, right? Going on a site where people are there to grieve and say, I want to have a debate. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Not okay.
I feel like it's part of that whole thing where we have this compulsion as non-believers to think, hey, I need to say something. Now, I know it's ironic coming from a fucking podcaster.
Oh my God, so ironic.
And yes, I am aware of the consequences. Let me just say that not all of us should do it. I'm trying to petition to continue doing it, but you know, okay. Other than the fact that it's not profitable, it should only be done by the professionals.
Here's the disclaimer. Jake does not go out and, like, to his detriment, has not promoted his rants, okay? If you're here, it's because you want
to
be.
No, you're coming to me. I'm not coming to you.
Yeah,
I'm not
exactly.
Pushing. I'm not going to a fucking group of grievers to say,
Oh,
it's so horrible. Okay. It makes me ill. And I just, you know, I thought to myself, it's really important that we remember here that in any I don't want to, in any fledgling organizations, you're going to have to sort of like lay out some rules of what's proper etiquette and what isn't. I feel like that's what groups do, you know? Like, we invent arbitrary rules, but they're there for a fucking reason. You know, like, don't spit. Well, that seems arbitrary now, but you know what? When you think about it, that's kind of nice. The don't spit thing. I'm glad we don't spit all over the fucking place all the time. It's kind of pleasant. And it probably prevents cholera or something. But yeah, practical purposes. And I feel like for practical purposes, can we just all stop debating one another for like 5 minutes? Okay? Like, this is not the reason why people are coming together. It may be necessary for some people to really express thoughts that they've had to hold in for so long because there's no one else around to express those. I fucking totally understand. But there are places for that. You got to remember that shit. And it is not a place where people are fucking grieving about their lost loved ones.
Absolutely.
Okay?
I think it's important to maybe take a step back and weigh your desire to proselytize your atheism against the socially appropriate, whether or not that's appropriate.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just proselytize your atheism. It's kind of like to make to try to enforce the specific your specific cosmogony on others.
Oh, no.
Really, that's what it is. I mean, like, you can be an atheist and still have sort of, I don't know, some other beliefs that are mixed up in there. I don't know what, like, there is no clear line to define what non-belief is, so it's gonna vary, but let me tell you something, we can tell who are the good ones when they're not engaging in that kind of fucking behavior. Right away, I think we should be able to say, hey you fucking suck, shut the fuck up, moron, shut up, and then that's it. And you know what, when I read that guy and his comments, I guess I was just a little bit reminded that that's why I'm there. I'm there to say, shut the fuck up, you son of a bitch. Realize the error of your ways, please. And then we can correct this type of behavior. Realize it's not acceptable, and we can be nice and grown up as a group. And because we have to accept it, that we're going to go through growing pains, people. Growing pains.
I think it's important to clarify that, just for the definition, just because I know someone's going to freaking comment on this if we don't mention this, we're not saying, because you're going to say it's a freedom of speech issue, and fuck you right in your mouth, because you know what? Yes, we're not saying we want the government to step in and not allow this and blah, 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 blah. It's not a freedom of speech issue. This guy can talk about whatever the fuck he wants to talk about anytime he wants to. Who cares? No one's going to throw him in prison. What we're saying is that we will all think that he's an asshole.
We will shame him.
And hate him forever because these people are trying to mourn and he's being a selfish piece of shit.
Yeah, so, he's saying, hey everybody. Okay. Hey, everyone. I have
Let's
a thought.
Let's talk about my thing now.
I have a thing that I'm thinking about, and all of you need to stop thinking about the beautiful people that you've lost. Like, I went on there. I must admit, maybe it's sick, maybe I'm just a weirdo, but I kind of like reading people's beautiful melancholy. That's the only way I can describe it. When I read people's stories of the relationships they've lost.
Well, I think you've never really dealt a lot with death. And I
have
think
not, no.
People who have dealt with like deaths of someone really close to them will understand that. It's very normal, actually. When, you know, like when my friend Marsha died about a year ago, 2 years ago, no?
2 years.
Wow, oh my
2 God. 2 years.
Oh my God, like they left her Facebook up, and to this day, because they started an organization after her, there's a Marsha Meadows Foundation now that helps girls on the street, because that's what Marsha did with her life. And people still go on there all the time and like write stuff like, oh, I thought about you today and I miss you, like as if like they're writing to her, and it's, you know, lots of people go read it because it is beautiful. It is like this beautiful sadness because it comes from a place of love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, that's what they are. They're testimonies of love, and they feel really genuine. And I think that there are so few examples and moments where you actually, like, especially online, for fuck's sake, where you're just like, is this genuine? I mean, a couple of weeks ago, you got fucking scammed when you thought that a site was genuine, and it wasn't.
I don't
and it got
talk
you.
About
it
that.
Got you. You got
I'm
scammed.
I'm embarrassed
well,
about
It's okay, though. I mean, but you know what?
I got
That's where we are.
Scammed.
You got internet scammed.
I got internet scam,
it's okay,
guys.
Baby. It's okay.
Because I'm stupid and I didn't know.
No, you're not stupid. They were really slick.
It was a really slick scam.
So super slick. Like, but yes, stole my money. I mean, when you're looking for something genuine, it can be a little bit rare. And though I don't think there's any more genuine than those kinds of fucking moments. And this segues me into a second part, which the troll, the one who was there saying like, "God will damn you," and so on and so forth. I thought to myself, how exactly would I go about explaining to this man calmly what the fuck is wrong with him? Like, number one, the thing about being religious is that you've never really dealt with death. You've actually escaped it. Religion is a way to escape the reality of losing your loved ones. Not entirely, but to some degree it is. And non-believers will testify, specifically non-believers who had been believers in the past, will testify that when they make that switch over, it's kind of like your entire family of loved ones that had died go into a Boeing 747 and fucking crash and die in this on the same day.
It doesn't. No, no, it doesn't. It's not like that. It doesn't happen the same day. That's the worst part about it. Honestly, if it was all at once where you were like, "Oh, I am stupid for having believed in this stupid nonsense," and everyone's dead, then you could just have a bad day and whatever. But what really happens is it sneaks up on you in tiny little doses. Ugh. Where the first you're like, "Oh, I'm stupid," and that takes a while to get over. And then when you're not even thinking about it, when you're busy doing something else, maybe when you had important shit to do that day, you realize, "Wait a second, I'm not gonna see all these people when I die. Wait a second."
No, but that's what
I
mean.
It feels
like they're just.
Oh my god!
Well, see, that's the second part of it. That's the second part of it. But I'm trying to understand how can I explain to a person the really. It is a baptism of sadness that we have to go through, like a real one. All right, it isn't one in just a metaphorical one. It is a real one where we are drenched in tears as we have to fucking accept the fact that when the material reality of the universe. That's what we have to accept. That's what other people try not to. Even the people that claim they're non-believers, many of them still cling to these kinds of fantasies that whatever they are or whoever they have loved are not going to disappear.
It is really. But I think a lot of it isn't just about losing your loved ones. A lot of it is about facing. Because here's the difference. If you're religious and you believe that everyone goes to Happy Playland, then not only do you not really ever have to deal with anyone's death completely, you also don't have to deal with yours. So the most important thing is that when you lose someone as an atheist, you are overwhelmed by the sadness of the fact that not just you will never see them, but that they will never experience anything. They're not. Somewhere, like, that is the thing that I think people forget about, where it's, when you're religious, you think they're off doing shit.
Yeah, they're watching you right now.
That beautiful person has been robbed of the opportunity to ever talk to anyone or do anything ever again.
That's it for them.
So, and that brings up your expectation that one day you will run out of opportunity to do anything. And it makes you, like, as an atheist, it really is like several layers more powerfully bad and upsetting and emotional every single time.
Well, we have
dies.
A fucking serious problem here, folks, because, you know, every once in a while I get emails from people telling me, is it normal that I'm having these crazy panic attacks? I don't know how to deal with it. And speaking as a person who had really terrible panic attacks right around my 30s, I felt the need to tell everyone that when you... You know, we cannot underestimate the fact that the acceptance of reality can be terrifying even to those people that have things going on, all right? Like, it's okay to be scared, but we don't have a really good environment to just calm ourselves from those fears. Like, those fears are real and genuine. We could just dismiss them and say, well, no, generally speaking, I try to live my life to its fullest and blah, blah. Look, guys, life gets shitty sometimes. Okay. Or life gets so fucking beautiful that you don't want it to end.
Mm-hmm.
So those two facts alone kind of, like, when it really hits home, those particular days when those two things are really crystal clear in your mind, it could be a tough second thought to have, that you're just like, that's one day that'll never exist.
You know, and if if you're in that position, these are the three things I do. One, lean on friends, either that new or old. You know, go and hang out with some people. Throw a party for no fucking reason. Sometimes being left alone to your own thoughts, especially for intelligent people, is the worst thing you can do. Thinking too much can be a real problem. It can make you depressed.
Oh, intelligent people, or you can think yourself into a fucking paranoia.
Oh my god, yes. And you need to have loving friends around, or new friends that, you know, you're trying to impress, because that'll busy your mind like crazy, and it'll help. You know, just surround yourself with people. The second thing is change the scenery. I mean, change, go on vacation, go visit your parents, go to change, get a new job, move, any of those things. Some of those are a bit extreme, but those always help. You know, even just going to the park for the day or going away for the weekend can really help. Sometimes it's just you're too in a pattern, and that pattern, you can feel that ticking of time, and you need to get out of that pattern so that you can get out of that mindset and be like, ah, die at any point. And the other thing that really always helps me is that, and I tell people this and I've been yelled at for this, but that's fine, is that it is comforting for me to think that when I die, it's just gonna be like before I existed, and that wasn't a big deal for me either. So
I thought those were the most boring 13.7 billion years of my life.
Yeah, I mean,
I want them back.
I think for a while we think about like, oh, I'm going to go into nothingness and it's just going to be nothingness. I think part of us is still afraid of that. But what you have to realize is like, not existing when you die is identical to not existing before you existed. And the reality is that the molecules that made you when you were born are all different anyway. So you're already a totally different person. Everything's in a constant state of flow and change and flux. And the fact that you are a person is a much more shaky concept than you realize. Like, you kind of don't totally exist the way your mind thinks you do anyway. So, chillax. That thought's always very comforting to me, and I don't know why.
Let me tell you something. I'm just, maybe this is my egotism talking, but I just can't stand of a world without me. That's what I fear most about death. I can't rob the world of me. It's horrible.
I'm marrying you. Damn it.
I love these little moments where I get to indulge in it. But you know what? Honestly speaking, I think that's part of many people's fears. I just express the ego that exists in everyone else. It's right in your uncomfortable face, and you gotta just deal with it. You're that way too.
So in conclusion, kudos to this lady for starting this group. Congrats to Greta Christina for getting a mention. Awesome. And hopefully a bunch of new followers.
Well, they did not link her blog, so boo. It's like, oh, thanks for the non-link. Boo.
That sucks. Do your job, Washington Post.
And USA Today didn't put out the link either. Mm. Boo. It's like you had a chance of getting that fucking primo gold link, but no. That was not meant. And you know, you don't even realize what a link does. It's not just about the traffic. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a tiny anchor. A little internet anchor that makes your ship a little bit more stable, little bit bigger. And if you get a couple of those, then you don't sink.
Yeah, in my other big blog is Firepedia, and it's all about prop manipulation. And a couple days ago, I found out that like in the Trio Hoop, which is this big hooping company, in there, like how to hoop, they put my blog first, or they put Firepedia first, and they mentioned it as like, this is the best resource. And I got I definitely had this feeling of like, yes, I'm doing good.
No, but it's not just that. I'm not talking just a feel good.
Oh, I'm talking like legitimately.
Yeah, I'm talking an actual physical
anchor. Okay, well, on top of
using hyperlinking,
on top of the physical anchor,
the more important kind, other than your self-indulgent, now your egotism of
it's not, you know what, it's not about my egotism, it's about my terrified feeling.
It was 100% about that.
No, it's mostly that I'm really insecure about my websites, and I always think that they're doing horribly, even though they're not. I always imagine that everybody's like secretly having meetings behind my back, and they're like, what's she trying to do over there? That thing sucks. Blah. I'm sure everybody thinks that who does a website, though.
You don't think that
people's
insecurities, people's insecurities are reflected in the works that they do? Gee, what a fucking surprise. What a surprise. Okay, well, you know, before we go, I'd like to...
Okay.
I'd like to thank everybody who's a contributing member, has been a contributing member in the past.
Thank you.
And now I tell you again that this is part of the Save TGA campaign. So enjoy... Enjoy the next couple of weeks of free bonus shows and get psyched up for when the new site is up and the new offer is up for you guys. You'll be getting probably a reminder email as well. And let's do this. Let's do the pre-order for the book. Let's save the show. Let's make sure I don't starve to death. And let's do this.
What's the line? We need 1/3 of the people.
For things to work with the pre-sales of the book, I need 1/4 of all of the listeners of the show to pre-order the book. In order for us to save The Good Atheist as a podcast, I need fundamentally, I need everybody to resign.
That's a bit... Okay. We need you!
We need you.
We desperately need you.
We need you.
And we need your friends. Tell your friends. Yep. Put pressure on everyone.
Or we need you to resign, obviously, to make up for those who say no. Yeah. We need you to resign early to make up for them. Yeah. Because I want to save the show.
Please help. Please help.
You've spent money as before, and I will satisfy you again.
And this time, we're giving you even more stuff.
It's true. There is more stuff.
Way more stuff.
That's true. There is. There's going to be the ebook. And the audiobook, I mean, how many hours of awesome is that going to be? A whole book of me just yabbity yapping. I mean, it would be an entire year's worth of podcast added on top of that. I cannot stress. I mean, I'm going to have to write it and read it. A lot of work. And I'm asking for $30. So I think that's reasonable.
Ebook, audiobook, and a year's worth of shows and all of the back content. So find the button on the site, goodatheist.net.
Once it's up, you can...
Is it thegoodatheist.net?
Yep.
It's thegoodatheist.net.
Baby, come on now. I thought you were a fan.
I just can't.
Who
puts the?
You're too drunk now.
URL.
That's what.
No.
Who puts the? People who cannot get goodatheist.net or .com because it's taken.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they have to put the. Limited options. So the is just reality.
Okay. Well, go there.
It's kind of like the Facebook. It's my new site that I'm starting. TheFacebook.com.
You know, it was originally supposed to be the Facebook.
I know. Yeah. I know. See? Don't criticize the. It's coming back.
No, clearly not, because they decided not to. It's not the MySpace.
And you know what it is now? It's the end. With that, my name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Chris Hendricks.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody. Try not to do the whole, and I'm like, Carissa Hendricks? You're Carissa Hendricks. Just say what your name is. Because last I remember how you had some trouble.
I was trying to be radio.
You don't have to be radio. You can't be radio. You're not radio. I'm not asking you to be radio.
Ouch.
I'm asking you to be convo. This is what the good atheist is.
Okay.
Oh, geez.
No, radio.
This is going to be a good show. I'm in trouble.
A good start.
Here we go.
Before you stick your foot in your mouth anymore.
Oh, yeah.
No cess for you.
Right. Okay, here we go.